Let us pray. Almighty God, in you are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Open our eyes that we may see the wonders of your word, and give us grace that we may clearly understand and freely choose the way of your wisdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 32. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever, therefore, eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves, and only then eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For all who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment against themselves. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world." This is the word of the Lord.
So this sermon is the fourth in a series on faith and technology. If you were here 2 weeks ago, you heard me preach a sermon entitled In the Flesh, and for that sermon, we looked together at the short epistle called 2 John. In that letter, the author writes of longing to visit the letter's recipients face to face. The letter proclaims that crucial Christian doctrine, that God's love came to us in Christ in the flesh, not remaining far off in heaven, not coming to us simply spiritually or virtually, but in physical, embodied form. That Sunday, we also baptized Robert, son of James Lent and Matthew Scott Todd. And I spoke of how our session determined that in the midst of the pandemic, in the time of home quarantine, the sacrament of baptism should still be celebrated in person, not virtually, not remotely, not with someone declaring over a Zoom screen, "You are baptized," and with a person on the other side of the screen throwing water on their head, nor with a water pistol across distances, though that would have been fun. Baptisms, we felt, needed to be celebrated in the flesh, in person, in a gathered body like this one. But what about communion? What about communion? Can you do that virtually? That was a question your congregation's leadership body also had to consider during the days of home quarantine. And to answer that question, we considered anew passages like the one that Josh just read from 1 Corinthians. In that text, Paul quotes Jesus as saying, "This is my body that is for you." Or as some ancient manuscripts put it, "This is my body that is broken for you." So what is meant by the body? That is the $64,000 question, isn't it? And the question around which Christians have wrestled for millennia. And it was an important question in determining for us whether communion could be served remotely or virtually during home quarantine. So what is meant by the body that Jesus gives to his disciples, that he speaks of during that Last Supper? Often in Christian history, the question is centered on the presence of Christ with regard to the bread. Some have argued that the bread actually is transformed into the very physical substance of Christ, a perspective called transubstantiation. Others, like Martin Luther, have argued that Christ is in, around, and under the elements, a perspective called consubstantiation. Others, like John Calvin, argue that Christ is spiritually present in the bread. And still others, like Ulrich Zwingli, have argued that Christ is present in memory in the bread. Those latter two perspectives, Christ present spiritually, Christ present in memory, those are both lifted up in the Presbyterian Church and the Reformed tradition of which you and I are a part. But what if the reference to Christ's body in today's passage had in its view not simply Jesus Christ the person, that is the one who lived, taught, healed, died, and rose again, but rather the community that was gathered in his name? What if Paul's reference to Christ's body here should evoke not simply a single individual, that is the person of Jesus Christ, in whom Christians believe God became incarnate or enfleshed? But what if body, in today's passage, was meant to call to mind the community that followed that Christ, the community gathered around him at the Last Supper, the circle around Jesus? What if that notion of a communal body gets right at the heart of the gift Christ gave his disciples as he said, "This is my body, that is, for you." Body, or soma in Greek, is a word that shows up some 20 times in Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church, and often when the word appears, it's a community that's clearly in view. Back in chapter 10, Paul wrote, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not sharing in the body of Christ?" And Paul goes on to write, "Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of one bread." Paul is arguing at this point for the Corinthian Christians not to eat food that sacrificed to idols if it offended the conscience of some members of the community. He's arguing that when a Christian eats or drinks in communion, they should discern the body of which they're a part, and of which their actions then impact other members of the body. They should eat sensitive to other members. Later in his letter to the Corinthians, Paul will lift up that famous description of the church as a body in which Christ is the head and individual members are like an eye or a foot or a hand. And a foot can't say to the hand, "Because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body." No, Paul writes, all are part of one body. Paul will argue that when the Corinthians gather for the Lord's Supper, they shouldn't mirror the practices of the dominant culture in Corinth. They shouldn't allow higher status individuals to eat first, sometimes taking so much that there weren't any left for the so-called lower status individuals. No, Paul writes, if you need to, eat at home, but when you come together, make sure everyone has enough. Rather than denigrating those who are deemed weaker in society, lift them up. Make sure that they are included, because he argues we are one body. So, with the communal body of Christ squarely in mind through so much of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, it stands to reason that when Paul quotes Jesus' words, "This is my body that is for you," the communal body is meant to be evoked in the minds of the Corinthian church. And when Paul writes, "All who eat and drink without discerning the body eat and drink judgment on themselves," he has in mind that same body of Christ he'll describe in the very next chapter, where Christ is the head and each one of us, each one of the disciples, is a hand or a foot or an eye. That communal body, that is right at the heart of God's great gift to us in Christ, isn't it? It's the gift Paul lifts up throughout 1 Corinthians. Paul had heard of great divisions taking place in the Corinthian church, and he's writing to plead with them, discern the body when you take communion. Discern how you are bound together as one in Christ, not with some placed above others in status, not with some getting to eat and others going hungry. You are one body in which social divisions are overturned, and all are one body in Christ. So if the body we look to in communion is not simply a reference to Christ's physical body sacrificed for us, but rather to the body of believers, is that communal body a physical body only? Is it a group of bodies gathered together in one time and in one place in the flesh? Or is it a body united across space and time, not simply an in-person community, but a remote or virtual community. It's worth keeping in mind that as Paul writes these words to the Corinthian church, he is connecting with them remotely. He is connecting with them through technology, the technology of his time called letter writing, a technology based on an even earlier technological breakthrough called the written word. And yet with that technology, he could still be one body with this Corinthian church, perhaps not physically, but in approximate fashion, a way we might call virtually. The Cambridge Dictionary defines virtual as meaning almost a thing or quality. And today, for many of us, it's come to mean ties we can have remotely across computer screens. Yes, it isn't the same as in person, but it does provide something still, something powerful. It's a powerful connection, a way in which we are still a body, even if we can't be together physically. Paul clearly himself saw himself as one body connected through Christ with this Corinthian church, with the church in Rome and in Philippi. And if that connection was a remote one that spans distances, then can it be for us today that in some fashion, at least, a virtual body is what Paul and what we can have in mind as we think of discerning the body. One of the great gifts of God in Christ is the body, not simply Christ's body given in love, in sacrifice, in example, and obedience, though that is a gift beyond description, a gift we receive through faith. But Christ's body is also the church. And that body, as we know it today, is by definition remote, right? It's approximate in that we don't yet get to see Christ face to face. And in that way, it's virtual. As the scriptures proclaim, Christ's body ascended into heaven, and yet he is present with us remotely, we believe, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That Spirit connects us to Christ and through Christ to God as well as to other believers like members of one body, one great remote or virtual or approximate church. Yes, we await the day we will be physically united with Christ and with one another in the flesh. But in the meantime, what a precious foretaste we get of that today, that we can know rich connection with Christ and with one another right now as a body, virtually. Now, don't get me wrong. It is wonderful to see those of you gathered here face to face. After the time of home quarantine, I will never again take for granted as a pastor what a precious gift it is to gather with others physically in the flesh. There's nothing like it, and it offers us this wonderful foretaste of that great day we will be connected to others in the flesh through Christ by the power of the Spirit. And yet, even now, what a gift that some are connected remotely through our live streaming service. What a gift that we can be church with people throughout the world. Years before the pandemic, back in 2016, Deanna Thompson wrote of discerning the body in new ways in her book, The Virtual Body of Christ in a Suffering World. Years before writing that book, Deanna had a dim view of the connections we could have online. She saw little hope for the internet in terms of creating networks of trust and support. She didn't own a cell phone and was quick to judge others whose attention focused more on their handheld devices than on the people sitting right next to them. Have you ever had that critique yourself? Then she had a come-to-Jesus experience in 2008. She went through something that placed in her mind, front and center, what a gift from God in Christ that we are not only a body as believers who gather in physical spaces like this, but can receive the gift of being a virtual body connected to others who aren't in front of us face to face. At the age of 41, Thompson was diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic breast cancer. And by the time of her diagnosis, the cancer had already spread to her bones, fracturing vertebrae in her back. In a few months, she went from being a healthy religion professor, wife, and mother to being confined to a hospital bed with a broken back and a grim prognosis. The chance to gather in spaces like this one, it was gone. Was she still part of a body? Was she still church? Even as she was confined to a hospital room, she wondered that. And then in that hospital bed, she received the gift of virtual community. Her brother helped her create a Caring Bridge website or site, and Caring Bridge is this online social network that connects people who have serious issues with those who care about them. Some of you might remember Christy Genstead, one of our deacons at the time, helped Jenny Segoyan set up a Caring Bridge site when she was battling leukemia. Deanna Thompson was initially skeptical of the undertaking, but then as she began to post updates on the Caring Bridge site, her cries were met with emails, cards, packages, visits, and calls. Thompson, a Lutheran living in Minnesota, learned that Roman Catholics were praying for her as far away as India and Sri Lanka. A Sunday school class of children in another country were praying for her each week, and it made Thompson think in new ways of how digital connections, flawed and imperfect as they are, can be like bread for the hungry soul. And so back when your session had to wrestle with that question, could we celebrate communion during home quarantine? Could we celebrate it remotely? The answer we came to was yes. Would not be the experience we knew as sharing communion in person, but there were ways we could still receive the gift God had given us, all of us, being a body of Christ, sharing life in Christ, even though we were each eating the bread and drinking from the cup from our homes, we could still discern the body, know our connection to other members of it. It's exciting to preach a sermon that lifts up the virtual connections we can have this very hour because, as many of you know, some of our congregation, 8 members, are currently in Kenya. They are visiting the Amani School, which is a mission partner of this congregation. Amani, which means peace, was started by William Maweu, a ruling elder of this congregation and also our mission chair, and Maggie Williams as well, who is here with us now. And after starting the Amani School, after building a support network, we thought, wouldn't it be great to visit in person? It's been neat to connect virtually, but wouldn't it be cool if some of us could actually get there and visit the school? And so a team is there right now, and they've been sharing pictures and updates so that we've been able, those of us who've connected through this WhatsApp chat opportunity, to see the pictures and hear the stories of what's going on. Let me share with you now just a few highlights of that part of this body that is in Kenya right now. Tommy and I dropped them off on June 22nd at LAX Airport. And after they arrived in Kenya, they got to visit some of the local inhabitants of Nairobi. Here are some of the residents of the National Park in Nairobi, some lions that they got to see up close. They then got to visit the children at the Amani School in Maasai. Amani means peace, and in the craft, that's what they're doing. They're putting in words, Amani means peace. Our team passed on the school supplies that so many of you brought to this church so that they could bring it in multiple suitcases to the Amani School. And the sports equipment you shared was a particular highlight, they said. Our team, that delegation of 8, led the children in games. They worked with them on crafts. They got to serve food to the children. And the children baked and shared food with the members of the team, like William here, who is getting to receive the fresh baked food. The team visited a women's agricultural cooperative. This group of women, farmers, pool their labor and resources to benefit everyone. Children showed the team some of where they were growing, what they were growing at one of the farms. And then this picture shows Bryce. Now, this is Bryce on his 91st birthday. 91 years old. So he is meeting with this women's cooperative. And what happens is the team then asks this group of gathered women, hey, is there anyone in their 90s also here? So it turns out the matriarch of this particular group and the woman on whose land they were meeting stands up and goes up to Bryce and gives him a huge embrace on his 91st birthday. This is a team or a picture of children showing the team some of what they were growing at one of the farms in this agricultural cooperative. They also visited a woodworkers cooperative, and they visited with the family of Victor, the 11-year-old boy who inspired the Amani school. And Victor gave William a big hug. And the team got to visit with the teachers, staff, parents, board, and supporters of Amani. And just this morning, I didn't get the pictures uploaded in time, but they showed us the big tent where they were worshiping, as well as this great choir that sang for them. Well, I thought since this is a Sunday where we celebrate our virtual connections, we'd talk to them. So are we all set? Is the team there? Wonderful. Hello. So you all can hear us. Hey, what time is it there in Kenya right now?
It's almost 9 p.m., so good evening from Kenya.
And what's the weather like? It's getting pretty toasty here.
We've been really blessed with the weather here thus far. It's been ranging from the mid-50s in the evening to the mid-70s during the day, and there hasn't been any mosquitoes or anything. It's been... Some of us have gotten some mosquitoes.
Yeah, I did see a picture of a hospital visit that Claire got to make, so very exciting with an insect bite. Well, share with us, if you would, those of you who are willing, what's one way that you've seen God at work in your trip so far? Just in a sentence or two, if you would.
I feel like it's been such a great experience so far, and I've met such, like, an amazing group of people. It was like such a blessing to me and to them, such as Bernard, Eric, and a couple of Dennis's. And then another time was we had the opportunity to serve breakfast to the kids in Amani, and we also got to go to a park and play ball with them, and that was so much fun, because seeing them interact with us and hang out with us was such a great time.
Thanks, Keith.
Yesterday, Bryce, we were blessed by being able to go to Williams, visit Williams' parents, and it was such a nice opportunity to meet his siblings and sense our oneness in Christ with them. And it was great to hear them share their experiences with William and the mom and dad. So it was just a wonderful experience for the sharing that fully. But that probably was the biggest highlight so far.
Thanks, Bryce.
Okay, so God's work in Kenya. So 2 days ago, we were invited. Actually, there was a youth hike, the Young Professionals hike. And Keaton and Parker were invited to on the hike, of course, because they kind of fit into that group. And then the group also extended it to the rest of us. And so Claire, me, and Robin went as well. And we hiked up with the youth up this, there'll be videos of this. We hiked up this big hill, and we were at the top of this mountain. And we took a break, and we started singing, "How Great Thou Art," in both English and Swahili. And I'll tell you what, you could not convince me that God was not there at that moment. So
God was.
Praise God. Claire.
I was unexpectedly moved by a moment in the Amani school celebration.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Go ahead. I was unexpectedly moved by a celebration on Wednesday, and it's a moment captured in photos because it wouldn't be taking pictures. It was the moment when our guard was standing and reading us and listening and in Mapchat. On Monday, I had taught the high school how to see the novel, The River and the Source, as a female epic that is ultimately about Kenya. And this moment also put kind of that larger context, making me see the Amani project, the microcosm of what God is doing.
So Claire, we can't quite hear you because it's coming in and out. So let's shoot to the next person. William or anybody else want to share a few last reflections?
That's all there is.
All right. All right. Yes. Thank you. Anybody else was set to share? We don't want to cut anybody off. Awesome. Well, thank you all for checking in. William, did you want to say a final word?
I lack words to express the joy in the faces and the hearts of the people in Kenya. Everybody's talking about this team, and there's so much connection. There's so much love, and there's so much relationships being connected and built up together. Praise the Lord.
Amen. 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 Well, thank you all. Hope it's a great rest of your trip. Everybody say goodbye.
Thank you for your
prayers.
Thank you for your prayers.
There is a reason that virtual is defined as approximate. Approximate. It's not quite the full thing, but praise God that we can be united with believers, those we see on the Zoom screen, those worshiping in other churches in Pasadena, and those worshiping around the world. Receive, friends, again, as you come forward to get communion, that precious gift that is a body. Discern the body. Celebrate how you are connected through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit and made one in Him. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.